Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org. We pray that God will speak to your heart as you listen to today's message.
What a gift that Jesus gave us on that first Christmas day, man. Not just a part of him, but all of him. And so this morning in your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 1. I know we looked at some of these verses a little bit ago together responsively, but I want to look at them again as this is the theme of today, Matthew chapter 1 in your Bibles. And I want to speak today about this subject of beneficial birth, the beneficial birth of Jesus. And I want to discover the incredible implications of the birth of the Son of God. Because the birth of a baby is always an amazing thing, isn't it? What do they call it? They call it the miracle of childbirth. My wife and I have experienced it 3 times, although I'm going to give her most of the credit. She did most of the experiencing, right? She definitely did most of the work. But 3 different times we've been able to see babies born into this world. All of our girls now are grown up. Our baby's getting ready to be 21. And I tell my wife that she's getting old. And I'm just kidding about that. But we are growing old together. Our oldest daughter is 28 years old. We have a 25-year-old. But there's still so much that I remember, especially the firstborn. I don't remember quite as vividly all of the events surrounding the other two. And I can't believe I just said that out loud. I'm going to have to get the other two really good Christmas presents. But I remember so much detail about our firstborn child. From the moment we found out that we were expecting Lauren until the second that she finally arrived, I remember our reaction to the in-home test, you know, and then specifically remember going to the doctor to get the lab work confirmation that we were going to have a baby. I vividly remember the 3 days that my wife spent in the hospital before Lauren finally arrived. It was crazy. I even remember the name of our obstetrician, which for a husband is pretty good, all right? We were in California. Our firstborn baby was born out there. It was our first ministry position. And I remember Dr. Chow walking into the room, and he looked at my wife after 3 days, after maybe so, maybe not, maybe so, maybe not. And he looked at her and he said, "Cynthia, your baby is ready." And sure enough, Dr. Chow was right, because like 30 minutes later, we had Lauren. But what a special day. What a special birth, and every single detail of it still replaying in my mind. Well, this morning I want us to look at the details of Jesus' birth, and I want us to think about the implications of what Christ's birth means to us today. And so look again at Matthew 1 and look at 18, because the Bible says here are the details. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And so her husband Joseph was a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you're to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son. And they will call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Jesus is not a God who comes and goes. He is here to stay. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And these are the details of his birth. The one who was long predicted centuries before had finally come. The one who the angel told Mary she would give birth to actually did come into this world. And 2 days from now, people all around the world are going to celebrate this birth, but I want us to focus this morning on this question. What exactly are we celebrating at Christmas? And what does the birth of Jesus teach us about who God is? Why is the birth of Jesus Christ so beneficial to us? So I want to unpack this morning 3 big ideas. And if you have one of the note cards on the way in and you want to jot some of these down, you can. Number one is this, is that Jesus' birth announces to us that God loves us. That God loves people. John 3:16, many of you know the verse, right? And it tells us that God so loved the world, and then it's almost like dot, dot, dot. So God loved the world so much that what? That Christmas happened, right? That he gave his only son to be born for us, to live for us, to die for us, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son to show us that he loves us that much. Why are you here this morning? There's so many different reasons why people have come to this room at 1010 Shadow Hills Church today. Some of you are here because this is your church. This is where you come to church just about every Sunday. And so you came, of course, today as well. Some of you are here today because this is the church that you come to every Christmas. Maybe every Easter, maybe every special religious holiday, this is where you come. And by the way, if that's why you're here this morning, we are so glad that you are with us. Maybe you're here today because a family member invited you, a friend invited you. Maybe you're here because somebody guilted you into coming to church, all right? And even if that is the case, we are glad that you're here. Some of you are here just because it seemed like the right thing to do on the Sunday before Christmas. But here's what I want to show you. With this first big idea this morning about God's love, I want to suggest that maybe the reason that you've walked in this room this morning is something deeper and something greater and stronger than any of those other motivations or invitations. I want to throw out this morning the very real possibility that God guided you to this place. Like you have an appointment to be here from an almighty God. Like just like God guided the shepherds to Jesus with the angels, and just like God guided the wise men to Jesus with the star, maybe he has drawn you to this place to show you, to bring you face to face with the fact that God loves and accepts broken and wounded people just like you and me. Jesus came on the very first Christmas to announce to all of us, I love you, and that my love is unconditional. Did you know that Jesus loves us as we are? And this idea sometimes seems foreign to us because at times, if we're honest, we don't love ourselves. We don't even like who we are because we know us. We know the scoundrels that we can be. But here's what I'm announcing to you this morning, that Jesus said, look, I know you too, but I love you. And Jesus came from heaven down to earth on Christmas to tell us that. Pastor Tim Keller, he's an author and a pastor, and he puts it like this, and really this is the essence of Christmas right here. Look at this. It says that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. And yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. And listen this morning. The acceptance and the forgiveness and the restoration available through Jesus Christ comes with no strings attached. And this runs so counterintuitive to how we've always been programmed. Like ever since we were little kids, as we say down south, ever since we were knee high to a grasshopper, we have believed that love comes with conditions. Because we're strings-attached people living in a strings-attached world with other strings-attached people. Everything in life seems to be conditional. I love you if you do this. I'll accept you if you act this way. And we think if the world is this way, then God must be this way. But Jesus' birth announces something differently. Because when Jesus was born on the first Christmas, he came to a messed up world. And do you know what happened? He exchanged our mess for his mercy. He exchanged our guilt for his grace. He exchanged our shame for his salvation. Jesus' birth announces that God loves you. Let me give you a second thing. Jesus' birth announces that God understands us. Not only does it tell us that God loves us, but God must understand us. What am I saying? I'm saying because of the circumstances of Jesus coming to earth and how he came to earth, now we can know that God knows what real life is like. Church, he lived a real life. Look at how Paul put it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. He said, Jesus, when he came, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. Jesus was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. So at Christmas, Jesus' deity, or Jesus' godness, was perfectly veiled in human flesh. He was God inside of skin. And look, Jesus was so completely one of us that people that interacted with him when he walked the face of the planet Earth wouldn't have noticed anything special about him. Like, I think sometimes when we see the little cards or pictures or cartoons, we think that when Jesus came, he had a little halo. Or he had little cherubs, you know, angels dancing around his head. But this isn't true. In fact, he just looked ordinary. Someone said, what did Jesus look like when he came to earth? He looked like any normal Middle Eastern kid would have looked. There wouldn't have been anything about the way that he appeared that would have struck you, per se. This is what Isaiah said in chapter 53 in the Old Testament. He prophesied in verse 2. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. We sing that Christmas carol, I love it, you love it, away in a manger, no crib for a bed. And it talks about the cattle, right? It says the cattle are lowing. Do you know what cattle lowing means? It means the cattle are mooing. The cows are mooing. They're making noises. And what does the song say about little Lord Jesus? No crying he makes. Well, I beg to differ with that song, but I guarantee I know what Jesus did when the cow started mooing. He started screaming. He started crying just like any baby would, because he was just like us. And let's talk about the manger for a minute. Because sometimes we use the expression when our kids leave a room and they don't turn the light off, right? Or they don't shut the door. And we ask them, were you born in a barn? Well, let me tell you this. The Son of God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was born in a barn. Now, most manger scenes we see, even the one like today, in homes or in yards or in churches, they're quaint. They're inviting, maybe even a little bit cozy, and there's the soft light of candles and lanterns glowing, and we see clean straw and a warm barn. But let me let you know this morning, church, that the stable where Jesus Christ was born was anything but quaint and inviting. The barn where Jesus was born would have been a dark, cold, damp, probably rodent-infested cave crowded with stinky animals. It was a terrible place to give birth to a baby. So why did it all play out this way? Like, why is this how Jesus came? Have you ever thought about this? Like, if God could remotely control a star to serve as kind of a GPS for the wise men, like if he could do that, then how come he didn't reserve a spot at the Bethlehem Hilton for Mary and Joseph? Why not? Like, why not at least a nice, warm, clean infirmary or hospital room? Why didn't God do it that way? Well, the answer is this. God could have if he wanted to, right? But he made this deliberate choice not to. One author put it this way. That Jesus was born in that cold, dark place because he had no desire to be sheltered from the harsh realities of life in this fallen world of ours. He wanted to experience human life in all of its blue-collar boldness. Watch me. You see, Jesus was powerful enough to speak a word and the world came into existence. And yet on that first Christmas night in the manger there, he sets aside his power and he just has to kind of hope that his teenage mother is going to have enough sense to feed him on time and change his diapers when they need to be changed. Now, this blows my mind, but I'm going to tell you why I think this is true. Because palace-dwelling kings can't typically relate to common men and women. Palace-dwelling kings don't live where we live. They don't work like we often have to work. They don't suffer like we sometimes suffer. And so the circumstances of Jesus' birth are this permanent symbol of the fact that God sent Jesus to live in the real world. Look, Jesus worked a construction job for 30 years. Anybody in here work construction? Jesus had these calloused hands. People tell me all the time, "Preacher, you got soft hands." I say that's because I'm soft, right? You know, and I don't have a real job. No, I'm kidding. But Jesus had these dirty, calloused hands. He worked construction. His fingernails had dirt underneath of them. He walked everywhere he went, and so his feet were also calloused and dirty. And those dirty, calloused feet took him all the way to a cruel death on a cross for crimes he didn't commit. Why? So that in our disappointments, and in our times of pain, and in our times of suffering, we can be fully assured that Jesus understands what it's like to live in the real world. He knows you. He loves you. He understands you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Look, Jesus was discriminated against. Ever been discriminated against because of the way you look? Because of who you are? Because of where you're from? Because of the fact that you're a Christian? Jesus was discriminated against. He was rejected. In his greatest time of need, his closest friends bailed on him. All of this to show us that he understands us, that we matter to him. Let me give you one last thing this morning. Jesus' birth is beneficial because it announces that God can change us. God can change us. Now, we talked a little bit about the manger scene this morning, but let's go a little bit deeper and talk specifically about the manger. Because back in Jesus' day, the manger itself was nothing more than a dirty feed trough. It was just a place for cows and donkeys to get food. It was really... What history tells us is that a manger was a big rock with a hollowed out space in it to put animal food in. And so to the people of Jesus' day, a manger would have been a very ordinary thing. But it's not ordinary to us, is it? In fact, if you think about it, the only reason that you even know what a manger is because it talks about one in the Bible. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have any idea what a manger is. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, where the Christmas story is, three different times it says the Son of God was laid in this feed trough, this hollowed out space in a rock called a manger. But here's what I want you to get. Because God's Son was laid in a manger, an ordinary piece of farm furniture became this magnificent, beautiful, amazing thing. All of a sudden now when we see a manger, it's got this beauty about it. It's got this dignity about it. And now manger is a household word. The ordinary, the dirty, the broken, the animal feed trough has become extraordinary. And I tell you that this morning because this is illustrative of what can happen to any ordinary person when Jesus Christ comes to live inside the manger of their heart. That he takes what is broken, he takes what is dirty, he takes what is worn, he takes what is used, and he makes it beautiful. This is what happens when we repent of our sin, when we claim the forgiveness that's only offered through Jesus Christ, when we ask Jesus Christ to come inside of us. Our lives, just like that ordinary manger, are transformed from the inside out. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 17. Man, I love this verse. "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, a new life has begun." Look at me. When Jesus takes up residency in an ordinary life, it becomes extraordinary. Not because of anything that we can do, not because of any righteous work that we can accomplish, but because Jesus changes things. You're in a church this morning that believes that the gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. Just like it changed that feed trough into a king's cradle. When we find salvation in Christ, God changes us. And that's a good thing. In fact, it's a great thing. When you meet Jesus, your perspective changes. The way that you see life, the way that you face problems. Your marriages can become healthier. Your parenting becomes more gracious and impactful. You begin to start doing some things and saying some things that you never thought you would say or do, but Jesus just changes things. Our relationships with others grow deeper, and it's only because Jesus is born within us. See, Jesus coming to this world changed everything, but it will only change for you when it comes to live inside of your life and inside of your heart. He takes worn out, broken things and he makes them new and beautiful. Why is Jesus' birth so beneficial? Because it tells us that God loves people and that God understands people. He came to live in the real world and that God can change us. Would you stand with me this morning? All across the room. I want us to be able to sing and I want us to be able to respond. If you're here this morning and you have never asked the baby Christ, the man Christ Jesus, to come inside of your heart and to forgive you of your sin and to save you, then man, you came to the right place this morning. Because I have some friends that are right here. And if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, I want to pray for you. And as soon as I pray, we're going to begin to sing. And as soon as we begin to sing, if God has spoken to you today, say, well, Pastor, how do I know if God has spoken to me? Well, I heard a preacher say it like this one time. When somebody as big as God begins to speak to your heart, you won't be able to miss it. And if God has said to you this morning, maybe you need to come. Maybe you need to find out more about salvation. Maybe you need to come and have someone pray with you. Maybe you need to come and receive some answers about Christ at this Christmas, then don't put him off. Don't say, oh, that's not for me, that's not for today. As soon as we begin to sing, I pray that you'll make your way down the aisle and speak to one of these pastors or ministry leaders. Father, bless our time of response. Thank you so much for everything that we've been able to experience today, but God, I pray today that you wouldn't let us put off making a decision for you. God, if you're speaking to us this morning, may we respond. May we respond in obedience. We ask these things in Christ's name.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would like to help support our ministry, you can go to shadowhills.org/give. We greatly appreciate your generosity. Join us again next time, and may God bless you with his best for your life. We hope to see you again soon.